Go to Colossians chapter something or other, 2, I think. Colossians chapter 2. I should have worn something warmer. That's unusual for me to say. No. I need an Afghan. I used to have an Afghan hound.
I once tried to pick up an Afghan hound.
No.
I saw these two beautiful girls in a sports car on Greenville Avenue. I come roaring up beside them. The blonde in the passenger seat was an Afghan. I swear to God.
No, that's happened. When I had Solomon, that happened all the time. We are continuing to talk about this impossibility of you trying to die to self. The act of trying to die to self only elevates self because you're still working it. And so the mystery is what you see. What you hear is what you see. But you can't hear until your ear is circumcised. Now, some of you have like partial circumcision. And so some stuff gets through, but the main part, i.e. that you died on the cross, doesn't make it. So you have periodic moments of understanding the mystery, and then 2 seconds later you go out to your job or some little thing distracts you, and boom. So let's see if we can come to an understanding. Verse 6, chapter 2. As you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. The only way that you can receive Him is by emptying you. Otherwise, you receive the instead of Christ. And the emptying has to be total, unconditional. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit after the traditions of men and after the principles or rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Period. There's no adding to it. And you are complete in Him. Complete. Can't add anything to completeness. Which is the head of all principality and all power. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. In putting off of the body. Now, of the sins isn't in the text, but it doesn't matter. You're putting off the body. In other words, you take your body and you leave it behind you. Never again. Anything that has to do with the flesh goes to the dump. And you then can owe your mind and your emotions absolutely nothing. You don't understand my life. I've got places to do and things to fulfill and jobs to do. Then you haven't received Him fully. You've received Him partially. You're like a little bit pregnant. Do they have any response so far?
Isn't that word receive a little...
Yeah. It's like all men have received him, but you have to receive him. You have to recognize. You have to know that he is your life. You have to know that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Otherwise, it's just a dead seed that's covered over by something that will not permit its life. It's the pecan sitting on top of the ground, never, ever becoming what it was intended to be. You must fall into the ground and die. But you can't try to die. That's what we're getting at. In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, what does this mean? Remember, circumcision is what the attempt to improve the flesh, the attempt to maybe improve the thing that's always got you in most trouble anyway. I mean, that's a little joke. But circumcision is now baptism. And it's not the putting away of some little bitty filth of the flesh, as Peter says. It's putting off the whole thing and burying it forever. So it's never again to rise. Buried, well, that's what the next verse says. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then you are of all men most miserable. That's what Paul said in Colossians. Because you're still living as a you know, what do they call them? Zombie. That's why zombies scare the crap out of everybody, because it's a revelation of who they are in their subconscious. They're just a walking dead man trying to put on makeup. Oh, I'm trying to get improved and I'm trying to get fixed and I'm just trying to take care of my foot and I'm so much in debt and I don't understand how all this always happens to me. And oh, and you are the continual, never-ending subject of your sentence, and it's a bore to God. And you being dead, necros, you being dead in your sins, not the stuff you do, but what you are. You being dead in your sin, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him. And now that's not like you're a partner with him, it's you are quickened because he is in you. Now there is a new life. A new form of life that didn't exist before. It's not an improved you. It's not an add-on to who you are. It's a totally different animal, a different being that is complete, perfect, at rest, never, never, ever leaving the rest. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Now that's not just the ordinances of the law. You got to blot out and erase the ordinances that you invented, all your little how-tos and what to do and how things should look like. And it's blotted out. It's a clean slate. And it's an empty vessel. Was contrary to us and took it away, out of the way, nailing it to this cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow or a type or a pattern or a metaphor or a parable to come. But the body is Christ, or of Christ. So all of the days, or even the Sabbath, is Christ. All of the feast days are Christ. They're all Him. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. Above all costs, you avoid voluntary humility. Do you understand what that means? Somebody have any? I mean,
well, it's humility that you've thought up
that you've
of your own.
Yeah.
Thing.
Instead
like,
of just
do this.
I'm gonna be humble now.
Look at me, I'm humble. Kind of humility. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind, and not holding the head. Now the word holding is extremely important. What has run you for your entire life is your head. And it sat up there as the governor and the ruler, and it judged everything, whether it was right or wrong or good or evil. And it has been there. It has been your governor, your life, your source of life, your source of pleasure, your source, that's what you believe, your source of fantasy. And so instead of holding, seizing, grasping as if it's your last breath onto the head of Christ, you continue to hold on to your head. And you continue to carry around the idolatry that is manifest in the Old Testament, where they carried them on their shoulders. You continue to carry your idolatry around on your shoulders, namely your head. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, increased. Nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. So instead of the we of the Lord's Prayer, our Father, it's my Father which art in heaven. It's me alone that is going to come to something. Do you understand me? That if I prayed that it could be me alone. Is there any loophole? Is there any possibility that it can be me alone? No. The salvation of the isolated self is the trick of the religious Antichrist. Now, it gets worse. Wherefore, if you be dead, necros, with Christ, dead. That's not going to be if you be dead. Or if, therefore, is in view of the fact. In view of the fact that you are dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances or principles? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. That is of no value in curbing your normal pampering of the flesh. Now, if then, again, in view of the fact, in view of the fact that you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, seek here, you got to see. Seek is love. Seek is what you give breath to, what you give importance to. What you seek after is what you love, as the verb. You seek after, I'm just trying to pay my debts, or I'm just trying to get a job, or I'm just trying to do this, or I'm just trying to do that. Whatever you seek after is what you love. and you become the enemy of God and the enemy of the Holy Spirit. If you're not seeking after God alone. Do you understand that? If I seek at, oh, but I just want a girlfriend. God help me. Then I am seeking not after God. I am seeking after something else. Oh, but I'm just doing it in the name of God. No, you're not. Oh, I just want to pay my bills. No. You're seeking after you. Oh, I just want to do the right thing. No, you're seeking after yourself. If you then, in view of the fact that you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, on the earth. And again, you got to hear this one. Don't negotiate with this one. This is talking to the human race. This is, for you are dead. Not you are going to be. You are dead, and the life you've lived thus far is an illusion. You have been conned. There has been somebody masquerading as you for your entire life since the day you became aware of yourself. We have somebody that's reading way ahead. You got to hear this. You are dead. Necros. There's no doubt about it. So can today, can you stop seeking those things which are of the senses?
There's this point that here is talking about where this dead event is recognized, and it's at that point that the Antichrist begins his work of raising himself up.
And now he's always been there.
He's been there, but he hasn't always raised himself up.
Yes, he did. He raised, before he was just the beast. Now he's the beast with two little horns. He's always been the only one. You have always been an illusion. He was the beast in Revelation 13 that John saw coming out of the sea. And then in a little bit later in Revelation 13, he's the beast. Now has two horns and he looks like a lamb. But he still speaks with the voice of the dragon. It's the same damn beast.
Same beast. I'm talking about it.
That's when the second beast arises.
All right. I didn't realize about that part. But that's when it happens. And if we see it that way, then, if we don't recognize it, it just happens and we get into it. But by seeing, we are able to...
That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. And the preaching of the cross is not that you're going to die, but that you are dead. And the human race is dead. Jesus Christ was the last Adam. So you first have the beast with the 10 heads and the 12 horns and 48 eyeballs and all whatever the hell he has. But then he becomes religious and he gets baptized. So he comes out of the water again. Now he's got two horns. And he's speaking like a lamb. But he's got still speaking with the voice of the dragon. Because he's speaking as self for self. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our only life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify means to reckon dead. It's not, you don't have to do anything, you just see the truth. The love of Christ, you got to hear this. The love of Christ constraineth us. For we thus judge that if one died for all, then are all dead. He was the last Adam. He was the last member of the human race. Everything else since Christ has been what? The vessel of wrath, the vessel of self-seeking. Doesn't matter whether you're self-seeking in the name of God or in the name of Bruce. You're still self-seeking. So you're a vessel of wrath. You're putting you as the subject of your sentence. You're concerned with something about you. That makes you self-seeking. Oh no, I'm just trying to do the right thing. No, you're self-seeking. No, I'm just trying to understand. No, you're self-seeking. That's why you cannot hear this until you've failed at everything else. What?
Well, there's just no escaping that. I mean, there's no escape. There's only one escape.
The cross, your death.
Death. And there's no way out of that.
And I mean, I just love it when people come here. We get, how many people, as Pat Booth alone brought over here, and they sit back, oh, I'm so glad to meet you, Ollie. I'm glad to meet a fellow truth seeker. I'm not a truth seeker. And you're an idiot. It has lately. It hadn't been around for a long time. But again, I understand. I'm not. I mean, I thought I was a truth seeker too. That's why this. If you want to talk about the lessons of Abraham. The lesson of Abraham is it took him 100 years to find God. God found him way early. But he didn't find God until he had gone through all of these incredible number of issues. Until he found out that truth was that which doesn't change with time. And so then he knew that he could never again give breath, give importance, give any kind of inference of importance to anything that moved with time or changed with time. I mean, Christianity, redemial Christianity, or medial, redemial. Oh yeah, redemial. That's a good one. Remedial Christianity should be that you cannot possibly be deceived by anything that a voice tells you that is variable, that changes with time. I mean, test it. And I promise you, test anything that I urge you to anybody that you pay any attention to. If what they're saying cannot be said in every situation, in every time, in every place, it can't be truth. It's just some, fairy tales of men. If right now in Indonesia, right now in Sudan, our fellow believers are being hacked up. If what you would say to them isn't the same thing that you're saying in your mind or everywhere else, then you're a liar. And this cuts across all systems, all philosophies, all thought processes, even the thought processes of reading ahead and trying to find the truth. And I want you to do that. I want you to search the scripture. I don't want anyone to pay a slightest bit of attention to me. You're an idiot if you do. But if anything I say kind of grabs you, then search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. I cannot teach you anything you don't already know. All I can do is be a second witness to something that's internally, eternally, internally in you. What?
I'm just laughing inside because Harry laughed a minute ago. I was really with him on that. That we sit here and listen to you, and we go, yeah, amen. And that's as evil as any thing because it's giving us righteousness to hear this.
How could you possibly get righteousness from hearing this? I can't even imagine that.
Well, that's what's funny about it is if you put it goes back to time, you grasp and try to hold on to this for a second, you'll turn it into, yes, sir, I don't believe in the cross.
But your life will be lying.
Sure, because you've been deceived from the moment you thought you were somebody because you heard this. And the depths of evil have no boundaries. So just for me, in hearing that, it's like repentance has to be constant. And
I promise you this. There can be no repentance unless you understand that you are the absolute chief of sinners. And you're never going to get better than that. Do you understand what it means to be the chief of sinners? That means in your mind you have to know you're worse than Satan himself. Then how can you give any credence to any possible thing your mind would do? Critical. The slightest hint of returning to self for anything or about anything, that has to trigger instant repentance, instant leaving yourself behind. And the fruit of it, what happens is what everybody wants. Peace that never changes. No, never again wanting anything. Never again thinking the condition you're in should be different than it is. Never again being deceived by anything that you can perceive with your senses. Person is born. Remember, this is all part of Ecclesiastes 7:1. When a person is born, he's designated for death. When he dies, he's designated for life. But until you see through the lie of your independent self, you continue to be part the whole miasma. Swamp, miasma indicates, has a second meaning of swampy, right? It's a swamp, a smelly swamp. And the slightest issue of you into it. Every time Paul talked about himself at all, he apologized. I speak as a fool. But until you see the depth of what your evil is, you can't hear anything. Because you still think you're a pretty good fellow, pretty good woman. I'm not so bad. Sound familiar to anybody?
That verse, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth, if I said it right. That's the kind of verse I'd like to just go on to the next verse.
So you can say something different than that verse.
We're going to get to a verse. I'm going to just mention it right now, and then I'm going to stop using my over.
Where you are in your life. Okay, if you're 18, that's bad news. If you're 62, that's good news.
Yeah,
certain age. Ronnie, shut up. And we'll study this at length. But the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Now, that's in Ecclesiastes 7:4. Now, rabbis, ancient rabbis, and Paul obviously, said, go and find the one thing that is valuable or that all men are subject to. If you find many persons going someplace, you got to know it's really valuable. But if you find every single person going there, then it's supremely valuable. Death being common to all, is the most precious spiritual truth there is. And until you recognize your death, it's just spiritual masturbation. And it's unconditional. You can't. Okay, yeah, I recognize my death, but I need to be fed tomorrow. No. I recognize my death, but I need to fix this. No. I recognize my death, but I've got a husband or a wife. No. I recognize my death, but there is no buts. There are no buts. And I promise you, your obedience will fulfill your families and your children. Remember, it says in Matthew, when he was done preaching to his disciples, then he went and taught and preached in their homes, in their cities. You're the one that's holding back your family. Because you continue on in self-seeking. But everybody sees through it. I hope this cuts like a knife through some of you. So there can be some reality, some obedience, some faith, His faith only. We are crucified with Christ. That means we're dead. Nevertheless, we live. But not us that liveth, but Christ that liveth in us. And the life we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God. His faith, not our faith. That was child's play. We don't have the faith to get out of the street. But we have the faith for intellectual integrity. We have the faith for integrity. You know damn well when you're lying and conning yourself. You love the con, and so it continues. Better is the day of one's death than the day of his birth. Let this be the day of your death, that Christ might live in you freely. But if you can't do it yet, you still got books to read, things to do, go do them quickly and come to the end of them. Because I promise you, you will see at the end of everything that you think you have to do, it will only increase your aloneness. It will only increase your separation from life. But if you have to do it, go do it quickly. Amen? Any response? From anybody?
When you were talking about the salvation of the isolated self is the trick of the main trick of the Antichrist, reminded me of the thing I saw about zebras. When lions come around, zebras, what they do is they come together in a group, and they put the young ones and the old ones and the sick ones in the middle. And all the lion can see is a bunch of wavy lines. The only way they can eat them is to separate one or two off from that group and eat the ones that are separate.
All of life is this. Anybody else?
I was thinking of seek ye first the kingdom of God and all those things will be added unto you. Except if you're not in the picture, so it's not bigger.
Oh, I know what let's do. Let's make a prayer list of what we want and need. You blithering idiot.
Particular idiot.
Blithering. Babbling brooks. Babbling brooks.
Gee, that's funny. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, the ring to it.
Take it, big guy, quickly.